In Jesus' name. Thank you. Do I hit? Got it? No. I don't know. Do anything. Okay, Hebrews 9:27 is one says, I mean, I memorized it a long time ago. It is, that's right. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Judgment. Where are you going after that? Scary, scary, scary for many of those who don't know the answer to that, for many of those who don't know what the word says. And, you know, guys, it's humbling. It really is when you think about this magnificent word of God that's just waiting for us. So I just wanted to do that. I've got several scriptures here that that are so pertinent to I got messages here to myself to read these. So I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 through 23. And I just want you guys to hear this. Wayne David, it's 21 to 23. Not everyone, boy, this is scary stuff. This is the one sentence and a spirit man never wants to hear. This is really, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, yes, says it twice, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works on your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worthless, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it was be founded on a rock, the rock. And everyone who hears the words of mine does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, let me say this to you guys. All I can do is give you my own testimony. Here's this kid that's brought up Catholic, goes to Mass, receives communion. His parents brought him there faithfully every Sunday. And I heard the epistles and I heard the gospel. But it didn't really take for some reason. It's like, well, then they told me, but your baptism is going to be the thing when you were a baby. And then you go through confirmation. And once you go through all these sacraments of the church, then you're going to be made a strong soldier, apostolic soldier of Christ. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that expression, being a soldier for Christ. I want to tell you, I went all through all of that, but I never showed it. Isn't that scary? You can go through we'll use the word term, sacramental life. And I did. I went through a sacramental life. Hey, two uncles that were priests, and I served Mass with them umpteen times for Uncle Father Arthur and Uncle Father Jerome. And I mean, these guys were praying for me when I got my orders to go to Vietnam. And those guys prayed. They said Masses for me 2 days later, 48 hours later, the orders broke. Nobody knew what. I didn't have to go to Vietnam. Yeah, in the Air Force. But nonetheless, I did not know what it meant to be a real Christian. And then somebody said to me, personal relationship? Whoa. What does that mean? So my brother sent me a copy of the Living Bible from Washington, D.C., the Living Bible called The Way. And all of this stopped for me going in this direction because I wasn't. What did Jesus just say in John 3:3? You must be what? Born again. No one will enter the kingdom of God unless it, that's what Jesus said. John 3:3. But the important thing is that you know, what will happen for those who don't go to heaven, which is my talk. The names are actually written in the earth. This is really a very, very, not very many people know about this verse, but you got to hear it. And I hope some of these write down what I'm about to tell you. I know very, very, very well about Jeremiah 17:9, very famous verse that talks about your heart. Anybody quote it? The heart is very wicked and desperate. Who can know it? But then you couple that with Proverbs 4:23. And what does that say? Guard the heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. So the heart must be guarded. Why? Because the heart it doesn't need any facts to get you to do something. It's just feelings. And feelings aren't good or bad. They just are. So, and I heard that it's very true. But yet the heart, the component of the heart is the flesh. And the flesh is it pulls at you all the time. And what it can do, if the flesh gets in line with the power of the tongue, and this is where all these things come into play, because hell is sitting there just waiting for that person to make the wrong number of words to come out of their mouths, just long enough to live the life of somebody who is becoming one of the damned. So there are three different types of hell. So that I'm going to go into this now. But I don't know if anybody knows about the three names for hell. But one of them is Sheol. That's the Hebrew Bible. Now, the word Sheol is a Hebrew name. And there's like two compartments of it. And there's different levels. Okay. Now, this is what I have been learning, because I've been studying this, which an awful lot of people don't understand. It's the various levels of agony and pain in hell, where people are assigned to. It's all about God's judgment. The whole thing has to do with the Word, the Father, and the judgment of a person. Once they leave the body, where do they go if they're not saved? So there are different levels of hell. And I found out, and there are some who are so far in the bottom of the earth, they're in what's called the underworld. Well, the underworld is that's Sheol, that's Hades, that's all three of them. And those people down there are really, really suffering. Now, I've been waiting to tell you this. I read a book, Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary Kay Baxter. Has anybody ever heard of that book? A Divine Revelation of Hell. Book's that thick. I got through half of that book, drove me right to my knees. And I mean, serious business, this life you're living. Serious, serious business. What are you doing with your lives? And I mean, I went to my God, I just want to repent of every conceivable thing that I may have ever done ever since I got born again. And after I got through reading that, it was realized that how important a thing it is to walk in. Everybody repeat this after me. Fear and admonition of the Lord. In the word, in essence, the word fear really, in essence, means the reverence or the respect thereof of God's word. There is nothing more beautiful than obeying God's word, and actually, there's nothing more peaceful than enjoying God's word. And I believe that I should read it more often. So there's these three particular places. Now, Gehenna was the word Jesus uses while it's a notorious valley that's just outside of the walls of Jerusalem, believed by the Jews to be the most unholy, forsaken place on earth, and it's continuously burning. That's right. It's a garbage dump. And so, okay, and that's, so that's a place called Gehenna, and that's very, very bad place how can a soul be sent there? It's enough to make a person cringe. But here's the other places, the other names of hell: the inferno, the abyss, the place of perdition, place of pandemonium, the underworld, the pit. There's many names for hell, but it's faced by millions. But I just so I'm going to kind of read this. I was talking about Jeremiah 17, 13. Lord, the hope of Israel, all who turn away from you will be disgraced. They will be buried in the dust of the earth, for they have abandoned the Lord, the fountain of living water. If you ever said that to somebody who was standing in front of you who didn't know the Lord, you would get their attention. And I would say to the person, if I ever say something that profound. See, the one thing about the Word of God, the profundity of the whole thing is that be careful how you use it. Many times, guys, I will not quote chapter and verse. I'll just speak what it says. I'll give you an example of that. Wanda and I were down in Daytona Beach, and we just got through with a great, big, happy day way over on the other side of the state. We came back at about 8:30 at night. The Lord's, he knocks on my heart. He says, hey, Lowell, I got work for you to do down in the hot tub. Lowell, go down to the hot tub. And we're 6 floors up. I'm tired. I don't want to go. Nope, Lowell, go down. I got work for you to do. So I went down there, and this couple were sitting in the hot tub, which was right by the ocean. Crazy place to put a hot tub, but that's where it was. So this lady sitting there, she's like this. And she looks just despising it. So I asked the guy, I said, sir, are you Catholic? And he goes, yeah, I'm Third Order Franciscan. Oh, I know what that is. And so we started talking about Catholicism a little bit. And his wife sitting over there, like, she says, I don't read the Bible. Just snarled at me. I don't read the Bible. And she's just like that. That's the way that she came out. I closed my eyes. I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say to this woman? I mean, it was just, and he spoke. Don't quote the verse. Just speak it. Just tell her what it says. And let me do the rest of the work, Lord. How many times have you heard that, guys? Speak the word and let the Lord do the rest. Can't tell you how many times that's happened in my life. And just be gentle, peaceful, loving, and direct. And don't lose eye contact, if at all possible. Because sometimes they'll look away because their sin all of a sudden hits them. They don't know what to do with it. Their sin hits them. But no, you got to love them through it. Amen? You got to love them through it. And that's the most important thing you can do as a Christian, is to love them through it. Because you don't want them to be, as you know, I hand out this prayer of abandonment that I've been doing for, I don't know if anybody wants one of my copies, but I've got a couple of them still left. I make copies of them all the time. But I tell people so often that it is so incredibly important that this place called hell is, you're not sent to it. So the important thing is that the kingdom of God is waiting for them. The most important thing a person can do is shine their light to a dying world and show them that these particular places that are faced by millions aren't. But they don't have a clue because Satan has them so deceived, and their lives are wrapped up in all of their hedonism, for lack of a better term. Most of us know what that means. But I don't ever want to be so caught up that I don't have time for God, because I never want the Lord to say, who are you? I never knew you. I would never, ever, 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 ever want that said to me, because I know what happens to me if I went after I got that. That one of these places would be waiting for me. And the wholeness of being a holy person, I'm telling you what, guys, that needs to be visited upon every day. More and more, when I get up, I'm asking the Lord to just rule and direct my day. I hope you're doing the same thing, and come humbly before the Lord. You know what I say to the Lord, and I want to pass this little prayer on to you. Father, maybe repeat this after. Father, if you will. Father, I humble myself before thee. Teach me thy ways. I have yet much to learn. And you can remember that, can't you? That's a very short prayer, but you want to be put in front of the throne room of God. You walk in a place and that level of humility before the Lord, and then I start to praise and worship. So I just I've gone through the trials and I've had some pretty tough ones recently, which some of you know about. But I can tell you that when you go through trials, they build character, and when you're being built by character, God is saying, "Hey, I'm working on you. I'm making you stronger. I don't care whether you're 80 years old or eight. We're all going to go through trials. We're all going to go through places in our life and times in our life when you just are absolutely stymied about what to do with the next moment." And I visited, it hit me real bad in March when I had to go through a very, very difficult trial. But the fact of the matter is, and everybody say this after me, Jesus is Lord. Okay, start there. I mean, I get a little excited about that, but I can tell you there's nothing more beautiful or important is that you demonstrate. You know what, guys? We are called in this day and age, and I get a little excited about this because I really believe it's so true. You better start setting a standard with your lives. You set the standard. It takes guts to do that. But in a world that is so full of confusion, they don't know which way to turn. The TV set is rotten with things to try to teach you and tell you things, and you don't know what to do with all the junk that's going on, particularly now with the president and his son, and everybody's trying to, the people are trying to get Trump in jail. I mean, it's just one thing after the other. Frankly, I'd be surprised if neither one of them are available for the presidency in the next year. I'd be surprised if either one of them make it. And it's really scary because of the power that set forth of the evil. Well, those people are going to have to be held responsible. I'm teaching this to my daughter-in-law. I says, I want you to say this to my granddaughters. Be held responsible for what you do with your life. Those are very strong, mature words. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what common sense is in your life so that you can avoid those things. Well, open up your heart, open up your mind, open up that for which matters, the tongue, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Guys, do you realize that every single word is like a, it's like a little cubicle of power? And whatever comes out of those words are in this little cubicle of power. And death and life are in there. I tell you what, Lori and I sat me down on a chair January 26th and destroyed my marriage. Little 1.5-year-old son laying in the room. And I got up and I went in the kitchen for what she said to me about her affair that she was having. And I was devastated after 5.5 years of marriage living with this wonderful lady that I thought was going to be loyal to me. And the power of death was all over my marriage. I almost collapsed on the kitchen floor. I kept grabbing glasses of water to try to hold me in, just water, because I was going into shock with the words that came out of her mouth. So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying, guys, we know how serious our tongue is. We know how serious the conditions of the heart is. We know how serious it is, this word of God is. And we need to tell people, I just want you to understand that God did something really miraculous in my life. If you've got a few moments, I'd like to tell you about it. Would that be all right with you? And show a soft delivery to people. And if someone gets a chance, I've had a chance to do that. This guy was sitting at the O'Hare Airport, and Marcia and my sister and I were flying off to Florida to be with our other sister. And this guy's sitting there. And Marsh's bag fell off of the top of my bag. And this guy runs over and he grabs it and he puts it back on top and he smiles at me. And I said, "Sir, may I get to know you?" "Okay." And he walks over and he sits down next to me. And I said, "Do you love music?" "Yeah." I said, "Do you like classical music?" "Yeah." I said, "I like Rachmaninoff. I like the second piano concerto." "Oh, yeah." I said, "How about listening to it? Let's listen. It's 11 minutes long." So we sat there and we just thoroughly enjoyed that. And then all of a sudden, a very quick, warm, fast friendship started molding between the two of us. And I asked him the question. I said, "What's your name?" He said, "Mike." I said, "Tell me about your parents." "Well, my mother was a Catholic and my father was a Buddhist." Oh, boy. And he says, I was born in Iraq. And he says, and so he was showing the Buddhist teachings in his attitudes. And I noticed that. And I said to him, so you were raised Catholic. I said, you ever heard of the Holy Spirit? No. He was sitting in front of the right person. Boy, I grabbed a hold of that moment. And we got into talking about how beautiful the Holy Spirit was and who he was. And I just began to pull everything that there was. But this guy was the nicest, sweetest guy you ever met, destined for hell. And the Lord said, pull him out of that in his own way. And I'm just sensitive to the moment. And I knew, guys, and I get excited about saying this, that every single word that came out of this mouth for that particular man, that man, was critical for his eternity. Every single word that came out of my mouth, because he didn't know. They don't know. They don't. I could sit here and cry how many millions. You got friends that don't know. They don't have a clue. All you need to do is this beautiful thing that you've got inside of you, the power and this and the fullness of the Holy Spirit is waiting to abound out of you in such a manner and in such a way that it's going to pierce through the darkness of their lives and go after their souls. And he's waiting to do that. Aren't you excited about being a Christian? I'm excited about the gospel and the fullness and the eternity of the Holy Word of God and what it means to you and to me. And all I can tell you is that I don't want anybody to go to any one of these places. Now that I talked to you about them, I just want to read this little thing here that talks a little bit more about Hades. It says, what happens to believers when they die? Just as believers have a current destination, the third heaven, and a future destination, the new heaven and the new earth, so there is a temporary and eternal destination for the unsaved. The unsaved immediately go to a place called Hades. Luke 7, 16, 23, and 24, destination for the unsaved. The Hades is the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment, morning guys, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. Hades is the temporary waiting place for of the unsaved. It is a place of torment that begins the moment an unbeliever dies. That is where the unbelievers go right now, but that is not their final destination. Their final destination is the lake of fire. Revelation 20, 12 through 15, John said, I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. According to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged. Every one of them according to their deeds. There's that word again. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is a place of forever suffering. When an unbeliever dies, he goes immediately to this terrible place called Hades. It's the common experience in both the temporary location, Hades, and the ultimate place for the unsaved. The lake of fire is physical pain. Notice in Luke 16, 24, the rich man says he is in agony because of the flames. Right now, those who die without Christ are in Hades awaiting the final judgment. I mean, total loss. The great white throne judgment. And at that judgment, Hades will be emptied and all the unsaved who have ever lived will stand before God. And because their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be judged by their deeds. That is a choice they made in this life. Lo, hear it. On that day, every unbeliever will see that his works do not meet the standard of perfect righteousness that God requires, and understand why he has been sentenced to the lake of fire. So, Here is the basic truth everyone needs to understand, : when we die, we immediately begin experiencing God's blessing or God's judgment. While it is true that at some future day, believers will change location from the third heaven to the new heaven, and the unbelievers will also change location from Hades into the lake of fire, a change of location is not the same as a change of eternal destiny. Heaven and hell are eternal choices. If you wait until you die to choose your destination, you will have waited 1 second too long. Heaven and hell are forever choices. Several weeks ago, one of my friends in this group spoke a word, and I went to Greg and I said, "Where is that in the Bible?" And the guy just blurted this out. "He who hates his brother." You guys know the rest of this verse? "He who hates his brother is a murderer, and eternal life is not in him." What it says, and it's enough to, how could I ever hate anybody? God has called me to love people. 1 Corinthians 13 tells me all about love, and indeed I need to know about how loving people and grace them. I learned this principle of gracing when I was at Spirit Life Church, because they did some things that I wasn't particularly happy with, and all of a sudden Pastor Tracy looks at me and she goes, "Well, Lowell, just grace me, will you?" And I'm going, and the Holy Spirit went, wham! I mean, it was like, she just said a mouthful of what you're lacking, Lowell, is grace. You want things your way. You want it your way. What about my agendas? What about my things that I want? And I'm all more interested now in God's agendas happening in my life. And I hope you guys feel the same way. Because I know that that his agenda for me is perfect. It has peace, it has direction, it has prosperity, it has all kinds of stuff in it. And I can't wait to do what God wants me to do next. So having said all of that, I think I want to close in prayer. Just lift up all these men to you, and I praise you, and I thank you for all the fullness of what these guys mean to me. And I give you all the glory and the praise for it. Let them be beacons of light unto them that are perishing. Make them out to have the standard of your word of God. Be rich and mighty and full of grace and ever-abounding words that'll set the captive free. And it's for my life as well. And so I'm careful to give you all the praise, Lord, for what you're doing, what you have done, and what you're about to do in my life. Give us all a plan, a purpose, and a pursuit to follow you in worship and in glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.